You are listening to GHP Radio, powered by iTrackRadio.com, your independent music source. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. It is now time for the Indie Live Spot, right here on your station, GHP Radio, your independent music source. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this edition of the Indie Live Spot. Glad you can be tuned in, and of course we have a great guest this afternoon, and we're very pleased to be having him on. I'm going to get with him in just a moment. I'm going to give you a rundown on some of the music that you have heard at the head of the show. A lot of great music. In fact, just ended music from our guest, Mr. Steve Raybon. And that was actually called Desert Pearl. And, my co-host Ray Mack, Griselda, and Joyce is here, along with our featured guest, Mr. Steve Raybon. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Hey.
Yes.
Good to be with you.
Oh, man. It's great to have you on the show, and really been enjoying the great music from the new CD, Cool Vibe. It's a great, 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 great CD, man. Definitely.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And now we just got through playing one of the selections there from it. The Desert Pearl. I got it mixed up.
Desert Pearl.
Yeah, Desert Pearl. Tell us a little bit about that track in particular, and then of course anything you would like to say about that track there, because it's a very nice one.
Well, thank you very much, Gary. That tune is actually more kind of like some of the songs I used to write many years ago. It comes under my style of more typical of jazz fusion, as opposed to just kind of contrasting with the more archetypical smooth jazz tunes like Kiss Me or Kickin' Back that got a lot of radio play. But Desert Pearl was a real challenging piece. I played, obviously, I played the vibes on it, but I also played the piano track on it. And it was a complicated tune to record. It was pretty intricate, the vibe part was really challenging, and it had that chorus on it, which was really tough to play. That's a harmonized chorus. It recycles itself a number of times, but I remember recording it and I thought, why did I write such a hard chorus?
Yeah.
And what was I thinking when I wrote this? I think the saxophone really works nicely in there, and then I like the guitar solo at the end. But the piece is actually kind of inspired by a family trip that I took with my wife Beth and our two sons David and Sam, and we stayed at this place near the Grand Canyon. It was called the Desert Pearl. It was this kind of really gorgeous place, kind of in the mountains. And sometimes when you're a composer, different landmarks or just nature inspires you to write certain songs, so the songs started kind of coming to me. And that was kind of the byproduct of it.
Nice. That's really nice, man. Sounds very good. And in fact, the whole project is great. We were talking a little bit earlier off air, about all the different selections that you have on it. It's just really hard to pick because all of them are really, really good.
It was just like I was saying, Steve, that you're the first one I've heard in a long time that played the xylophone, besides Loudhampton and what was the other one we called?
Roy Ayers,
yeah. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, kind of my big crusade for the last 20 years has been to bring the vibraphone front and center into the mainstream of smooth jazz. I mean, if I do nothing else besides, trying to get my music heard by people, I really want to bring the instrument out in front, because basically, I get a lot of radio play from stations all through the country and in Europe, and people love the vibraphone. It's just that there hasn't been a history of having the vibes be a prominent instrument in smooth jazz. Yeah. So in some ways, I sometimes feel like I'm kind of a pioneer, with an instrument, right, trying to make it, kind of catch on. Many years ago when I started doing this, Rick Braun, who I was, we were talking about, I was in a band with him, and he came through on tour, and this is like mid-90s, and he said to me, Steve, why don't you try to do with the vibraphone what I did with the trumpet? He kind of really championed the trumpet, he and Chris Bodie, into smooth jazz, and I thought, wow, I don't know that. I hadn't even thought of doing that, but back in the days, Rick and I used to write songs together, and we were in a band together. So that began kind of what's now become like a 21 or 22 year odyssey of trying to bring the vibes, into the mainstream and say, give people another alternative. I mean, I love saxophone. I love guitar just as much as the next person does, and I feature it all the time. And of course, I love flute. I've got the great Steve Gujala playing on this CD. But how about the vibes? Let's give it its due. I know people like it. I know it's played a lot. So that's kind of my quest, I guess I'd say.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely refreshing, to hear that up in the front. Because like I said, they don't really get to hear that a lot. And for you,
it's also a pretty. It's really a pretty cool instrument to watch somebody play it too. It's very visually compelling, because when I play, I'm manipulating four mallets. It's kind of like,
right,
yeah,
it's like wow, this is like a real light show at a Chinese restaurant or something with chopsticks going on. Yeah. So it's fun to watch too.
Yeah,
but I was I wish the daughter could see the boy when he was saying playing the format. You could see him doing the animation with his
right.
Ass.
Yeah, it's that's and it takes the definitely talent and skill to do that. Yeah.
Well, and when the show is on, those mallets be flying.
Oh man,
I bet
they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have the tip of the mallet, the ballpark, fly off while you're playing? Just curious, because I know drummers break sticks all the time. I'm just wondering.
No, I never have.
Okay.
It's happened to me with a xylophone, though, in a concert when I was playing some orchestral music. That's happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is not a good feeling.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
You don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. That's not good. But I've never had that happen with my vibe mallets.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the actual distinguish between the xylophone and the vibraphone?
Okay, well, the vibraphone is basically, it's a lot more, it's fashioned more like a piano. Mm. You know, it's obviously only three octaves, so it's got about 38 keys or thereabouts, but it's really an instrument has a sustain pedal, so it functions, you can keep pitches, you know, ringing.
Mm.
And and it's made with aluminum alloys. And the xylophone is smaller than the vibes, but it's a wooden instrument.
Yeah.
And you can't sustain pitches unless you're, you know, rolling all the time.
On the key, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. And
the marimbas. And what's the difference with the marimba?
Well, the marimba is also a wooden keyed instrument. It's the largest of those three instruments. You know, if you think about it, marimba's the largest, then vibes would be in the middle, and then xylophone a little smaller. And I would say the marimba is really, it's really kind of a contemporary classical instrument. The xylophone plays a lot of ragtime stuff. It came up through the ranks in the history of jazz as a ragtime instrument, but now it's also, it's prominent in orchestral music. And the vibes really started as kind of a novelty instrument during the vaudeville era, and then it just really morphed into a prominent jazz instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, Ray,
first. Okay.
And Ray, we were saying, like, Lionel Hampton, he really pioneered a lot of stuff during the swing era of the 30s, when he became the first real big superstar jazz vibraphone, is when he was playing with Benny Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. Now, I bet that since you do play the vibes, what was your background as far as, like, what did you start out as?
Okay.
Yeah.
I started out in first grade on piano.
Mm.
So, I mean, I play a lot of piano. I write, actually, all of my music on piano.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I write a lot of music. It's a big part of what I love to do is write music. So I started on piano, and then in fourth grade, I started playing the drums.
Okay.
Mm.
And I had a teacher that was heavily, in those days, into Dave Brubeck's music. So I started learning how to play Take Five and Blue Angel of Kirk on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, many, many years later, Oracle, the group I was with when I was in my 20s, we opened a show for Dave Brubeck.
Wow.
And later on, I played with Dave Brubeck, and he is just one of the he's deceased now, but truly one of the great pioneers in music, and, you know, one of those wonderful human beings that just was kind and generous to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting thing. I also went to school at the Berklee School of Music in Boston with his son Danny for a while.
Okay.
Wow.
His younger son, who's a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I've been a big Brubeck fan my whole life, kind of got it started, but that's... And then from there, when I was about in seventh grade, I started playing xylophone, and then I went into the vibes.
Okay.
About eighth or ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I went into the vibes, babe.
I went into the vibes. Well, after high school, what did you study in college? And talk about your profession in terms of teaching after that.
Okay. Well, I did my undergraduate at the Eastman School of Music. And I have a bachelor's of music degree from there as a percussion major. And I was, for all intents and purposes, I was also a jazz studies minor. You know, I spent as much time in the jazz area as I did in the percussion program. Then later on, when I left LA, I went back and I got my master's in percussion performance at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And then I did my doctorate in percussion and in a theory minor at the University of Iowa. So, you know, I ended up going to, I went to more school than I ever thought I was going to go to when I first started this academic realm. But since then, you know, I was telling you guys earlier that I was the head of a jazz program at the university here in Omaha, Nebraska for 10 years. Plus, I was the percussion instructor. And then when it was about 2000, I left academia and created my own percussion studio. So, and piano studio, and started teaching not just college kids exclusively, but then I started teaching K through 12 as well, and adults. So I've done that now for the last 18 years. So I've been a teacher. I started a little earlier than, you know, that in the, I'd say around 1986. So I've been a music educator for about, you know, a good 30 years or more already. And I still teach about 40 students every week.
That's great. That's great.
You know, I teach piano, I teach classical piano, I teach jazz piano, I teach songwriting, I teach vibraphone, I teach jazz improvisation to not just mallet players or pianists, but I teach it to guitarists and saxophonists and you name it. A lot of different instrumentalists will come to me and, you know, we'll study jazz improvisation.
Awesome.
Cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, it's wonderful too, because, you know, I really feel that the our youth definitely, you know, it's great to have them in, you know, learning that stuff, man. Because, I mean, you know, I don't know, this generation today, to me, it just seems so different. You know, from years before, and like I said, it's just always good to see young people into.
Well, you know, you can impact somebody's life in a very profound way if you're a teacher. You know, I mean, it's something that is kind of transcended. It has kind of an eternal quality to it. You know, if you can make a lot of connections, that personal connection with your students. And of course, a lot of my students don't necessarily go on into a career in music, but many of them do.
Yeah.
But most of them will still, you know, be very avid musician or lovers of music avocationally. And you know, that's, I think, the most important part of the journey is that, you know, if I can impact their own creative, you know, musical experience, that can lead into all sorts of other things in other fields that they may go into at some point in their careers.
Absolutely. Now, your this recent CD, Cool Vibes, now you had some other recordings before, right?
Prior to that, yeah.
Right. My first CD was called Balance Act. And then my second CD, where I started to really get a lot of radio play, that's kind of when I made my emergence more into the marketplace, into the various smooth jazz radio stations, with Bad Cat Karma.
Yes, I remember that.
And there were a number of tunes from that CD that were singles. You know, Bad Cat Karma was a single. Breezin', which Rick Braun produced, was a single. There was a vocal track called Sunny, you know, the famous Sunny. I did my own rendition of Sunny.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of another piece that's a pretty song. I kind of write a lot of anthem songs, and it's kind of dedicated to the city of Breckenridge, Colorado, where I played the Genuine Jazz Festival there a number of years, and I love Breckenridge, and that tune was called Breckenridge Blue.
Okay.
And then my third CD was called In the Driver's Seat.
Okay.
And then Cool Vibes was released, you know, during last summer. And that's kind of where I am right now.
Very nice.
Cool. Do you have any dates coming up as far as gigs or touring?
Well, we're working on that. You know, we just sent in a couple contracts recently. My attorney's here today, Rob Love.
Oh, okay.
And you always have to have your attorney close.
What's your attorney's name?
Rob Laughlin.
Oh, Laughlin. Okay, all right. I thought you said Rob Love. I'm like, I know that name. Okay.
Rob,
Put him on so we can meet it.
Oh, yeah. Rob, come on over and say hi to them.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Hello.
Good to see you. Good to see you. I've been enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
Fair and on air.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're on air, yeah.
Yeah. And I got to say, San Antonio, I've been down there a number of times. And one time I was down there for a week-long festival and heard some really good salsa jazz music. And I came back and I said to Steve, boy, Steve, we got to get some of your hot salsa music down to San Antonio because I think people down there will love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Since we got you
definitely
over there, Rob.
Uh-oh. Get ready, Rob.
Legal advice is not free, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the thing is that, you know, we
$200 an hour. Okay, Matt.
Hold on. I probably should have kept my mouth closed. But that's okay. But, you know, since we have you in front of us, give the audience, just a little bit of advice what they can do, you know, so they won't get themselves all in a trap.
In which kind of trap?
You're talking about basic, you know, contractor-wise or something like that, you know, things like that. Something they can...
Okay, in a contract trap. Well, I think that the thing to do is to go into it eyes wide open and know that when a contract comes at you, if you don't know everything about it, you should seek some help.
Okay? Right.
Mm-hmm. I've just had several situations in the last week even where I've seen somebody went out and tried to do something on their own, buy a house, move into an apartment, those kinds of contracts. And all of a sudden, within a week or a year, you know, they're in a load of trouble because they didn't know the terms and that the terms would be binding. And the same would be true in the music industry. Mm-hmm. You want to get some help if you don't understand the contract, because there's going to be little terms in the contract that are binding, really. Mm-hmm. And so,
you know, like the with Cool Vibes, when we signed on with CD Baby, for instance, they sent us like a 15 or 16 page, it was maybe even 18 page contract.
Wow.
And it was like way beyond my comprehension. For CD Baby. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's a very extensive contract. When I signed my first record contract with Chrysalis Records back in the 70s, that contract was only several pages long. Mm-hmm. So, but CD Baby sent us like an 18 page contract, and then Rob.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's really extensive. And Rob actually, he went through it and he was highlighting all these things, and I had to find out about it. You know, we had to negotiate what, you know, we wanted to do, or, you know, the terms of the contract. And I remember one time, actually, I had to call CD Baby about something legal there was relevant to the contract. And they acted surprised that I even read it. They said to me, why is it taking you so long to, like, you know, reconcile this problem? I said, well, you do know you sent me an 18 page contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and they said, well, you read that? And I said, you bet. Uh-huh. I didn't just read it, my attorney read it,
and I have a lawyer.
So I would just say, to echo what Rob said, to any young musician, you have any you know, age demographic, mm-hmm. you really do need to protect yourself legally.
Yes.
Okay.
Very important.
And that's going to require the expertise of people like Rob that understand the terms of these complicated agreements. Mm-hmm. And it also goes into the realm for composers where you have to protect your music. I tell a lot of my students this.
Yeah.
You know, it's their intellectual property. And you have to take that seriously. You know, I copyright everything I write. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all in the Library of Congress.
Yes.
And it's kind of tedious.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And you have to pay to, you know, log in your songs with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't do it, you're being penny wise and pound foolish. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's your baby. It's your, it's what represents, you, you know, your,
right. Yeah.
The power of your mind and your creative ability. So you really have to look out for yourself and treat music not just as an art form, which it of course is, mm-hmm. but it's a really complicated business.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is. And it really Rob, it's Steve.
CD Baby has gone through a change of hands. So the people selling it aren't the same people that started up.
That explains.
So the culture has changed in the last contracts. Yeah, they've tried to become much more exclusive. Mm-hmm. And if you go with them, you can't also go with other organizations. You just have to look at that. And
something, Rob, you know, even you sit back and look and say, hey, say you sold 1,000, 100,000 copies. If you look at that check that come to you, it don't look like anything. It's just peanuts.
Yeah, you know? I didn't know you could split a penny. I found that on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's like, huh?
Well, we're getting into the nitty gritty of royalties here. When we're talking about these,
that's another show, right?
Yeah, that's a whole other show. And that's a real issue. But I think it's good to know, because Joyce, you said you're an independent artist, mm-hmm. and today the majority of musicians that do what I do or what you do and all the other people out there trying to carve a career for themselves in music, I mean, for all intents and purposes, we are our own self-contained, you know, record company.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are, you know, this is not me in 30 or some years ago when a record company that I was actually affiliated with did all this stuff for me. Mm-hmm. Now I have to kind of do it myself, and you have to protect yourself. And the business details are deep, and they're really time consuming. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can spend more time doing promotion and just double checking all the different parameters of contracts, this, that, or the other thing, all the logistical things. It's just such a drain.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot to handle.
It's a lot. But you know something, Steve? For every independent artist out there, they need to know these things. They need to know it. You know, so they can be, they really need to know it, because, like I said, you can sign a contract and if you don't read it, you stuck. So you need to know this business.
Well, you know, it would be nice if there was a law firm or that would have a business, maybe a monthly fee or whatever, or to read a contract. Because the lawyer, I don't know if he's still in business and he might have retired, but I felt so comfortable going to his office. Here's this contract I got from Viacom, and he saved me from making a bad decision. But the thing is that it's $200 to have your contract looked at, you know. Okay, $200. And I appreciate him when he realized this particular contract was only one page. And when he said, okay, he cut my fee in half. But another contract I had from an independent label was 9 pages. When I got to the third or fourth page, I already knew I didn't want to sign it. I didn't even need a lawyer. I told him, no, it's exclusive. I'm going to take 20% even if you take a loan out. It was crazy stuff in this contract.
Well, we're getting rid of things, Steve.
Wait. Steve was going to say something.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, welcome to the contemporary musical world we live in. musicians like us are confronted with this on a daily basis, you know, mm-hmm. and it is not a charity. It's not for free. Mm-hmm. All this stuff, when you visit, you know, and you have to enlist the services of attorneys and whomever else, you know, this is out-of-pocket expenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Steve, it's just, it's so hard, I think, for some of them to find a good entertainment lawyer in their area. Yeah. They got to find a good one.
Well, I've been lucky. Rob is a devoted, you know, we're great friends, and he kind of goes above and beyond the duty for me when I ask him to help me out with all these things. But you really need a strong legal advocate.
Mm-hmm. You really do.
There's just so many things that can come up on a, you know, on a weekly or semi-weekly basis that you just say, hey, I don't know how to really maneuver through this adequately. I need you to look at this, please.
Sure.
Gee, how about if we play another tune so that people can hear it?
I think so too. I think so too.
Let them get that vibe from the vibes.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you have a preference this time?
Let's Steve pick which one.
Well, let's play one of them that got a lot. Either play one of the chill tunes, either Kicking Back or Kiss Me. They got most of the radio play.
Okay, cool. In fact, we'll do two in a row, and then we'll come back and continue. So, listeners, get ready for this. This is a couple of more from Steve Raybon's latest CD, Cool Vibe. Very nice. And we'll be right back right here on the Indie Live Spot, right here on GHP Radio. Keep it locked right here. We'll be right back. gentlemen, we're back, and that was some more great music from our guest, Mr. Steve Rabine, and that was Kiss Me, and before that, you heard the song Kicking Back, and yeah, very, very nice music. It's just, like I said, it's refreshing to hear the vibes being played here, and it's really nice, man, so great job. Great job.
Oh yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So it's hard to choose just one. We can't. Yeah. I know Gene, I cannot.
Yeah.
Well, that's
tough.
Good. You know, I'm glad that there's options that you guys like different songs. That's always meaningful to me as a composer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And before we get too far away, because we're kind of getting down to the time, why don't you let our listeners know how they can follow you, and I'm sure you probably have a website. In fact, I've been to your website, and and where they can get buy your CD and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you can follow me on my website, www.steverabine.com. I have a lot of Twitter followers. It can be Steve Rabine at Bad Cat Cafe. That's BADKAT Cafe. You can follow me on Instagram as well. And you can find my stuff online by CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes. Those are probably the good places to buy it, you know, if you're going to buy online. Mm-hmm. I'm on Pandora Radio, so you can hear me on Pandora too. Mm-hmm. So most everybody else, I'm on most of the internet sites. So mm-hmm.
Waiting to hear you on XM. Awesome. Now
what's that, Red?
Waiting to hear you on XM. Sirius.
Sirius
Radio or
XM. Yeah, I've been on I've been on Sirius XM, right.
Oh, okay.
That's oh, Ray, wow. That's one of Ray's favorite listening channels.
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
Yeah. Yeah.
He always brings it up.
Can I ask a trivia question? Mm-hmm. How many people have called you Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Well, okay. So that's a good question, because actually I tease people and I call myself Stevie Ray Vine.
Nice.
Very good.
Yeah, that's
West. Or, you know, many years ago, I changed the spelling of my last name. Mm-hmm. The old German spelling was Rehbein, and I changed it to Raybine because a lot of people couldn't pronounce the name in its current, you know, in its original German form. So I am also Steve Rabine, the artist formerly known as Steve Rabine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, why I said XM, why I was saying XM radio. Why I was saying XM radio. I'm pretty sure I heard you on Watercolors.
Yes, I've been on Watercolors.
Yes. Boy, that's a hell of a payday. That's a good payday. Being on that.
To the listeners, if you visit Stevie Rabine website, it's loaded with information about him, teaching, motivation in music, buying his CDs. I love your website. It's loaded. I love it when you can have a one-stop shop. That's what I'm trying to do with my website. When you can go and they can find out everything about you on your website, what social networks you're on, everything, to make it easy for, and you've made it very easy to know about you. I like that.
Yeah, by the way, you mentioned that posters. I also have a company with another woman that does motivational music posters. She does the graphic designs, and then I do all the sayings are mine. I'll just hold these up to you guys. Can you see that at all?
Oh, yeah.
It's everything. Yeah.
There's one. Yes. Attitude is everything.
Yes, attitude is everything. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
If you want to be great, don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that.
Good one.
When you inspire, you light the fire.
Yeah.
Ah, good one. Another good one.
Hard work leads to success. There are no shortcuts on the road to success. We all know that's true.
Yeah.
The three D's, discipline, determination, and dedication, will decide your fate. The three E's, effort, energy, and enthusiasm, will create opportunities. Here's a good one. When you memorize music, you mesmerize the audience.
Cool. I like that.
Here's a good one. When you interpret music must be interpreted, not just played.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When you command the stage, you command the audience.
The audience.
And true. Mm-hmm.
And then, Joyce, you were talking about this before, about kind of finding your own voice. Your musical sound and your playing style is your musical signature.
There you go.
It's what defines you as a musician.
Yes.
And I think that's really ultimately where all serious musicians are, that I have really responded to most favorably, is we're on a quest to really find our own style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a player, as a composer. I mean, that was the thing that motivated me. I wanted to not just replicate what everybody else did, but I wanted my own voice.
Right.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's really a journey. I mean, it's a journey of self-exploration. And it takes a lifetime. You know, Miles Davis said it takes a whole lifetime to learn to play like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He was right. It does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and you have a little bit of an edge because of your unique instrument as well, which is great.
That's right. Well, you know, it sometimes is a blessing and a curse to be unique. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, he's interesting, but...
But!
There's your butt getting in the way.
But what do we do with it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you can ever make that connection where you can cross over, then you have something kind of potentially profound. You know, and you know, one never really knows. You can't really, you know, you can't say with any definitive assuredness that something is going to happen. But, you know, you've got to put yourself out there. Otherwise, you know, you can rest assured it's not going to work out the way that you know, that you're hoping it might be.
Yeah.
With your own, you know, dreams and aspirations.
The thing is, you know, a lot of times the audience, if you make a mistake, they're not going to really know because they off into the music jamming themselves. They ain't going to pay attention if you make that mistake. Right. Only if it's
a minor one. Sometimes if it's really bad, anyone will know that it was wrong. Trust me. Even the ones that have no music background as far as being taught, they will know. Yeah. Like,
because I think you're wrong note. That I was real sharp. Well, they didn't know it was sharp. They knew that. Oh, when she came in, that didn't sound right.
Well, I can tell you one. I can tell you one thing. If you're playing in the classical genre, and you're playing the music by Bach, and you make some wrong notes, everybody and their cousin knows it.
No.
Yeah.
So they know it because it's just painful.
Right.
You don't want to trip up when you play Bach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially like on the violin, it's like the strings, especially the violin. If they don't hit that F sharp perfectly, you will know.
Steve, what's that you drinking over there? What's that you drinking over there?
Mac, we're having an interview.
Okay, stop. Okay, so this is my new favorite drink. It is cinnamon iced tea.
Mm. Okay.
Cinnamon iced tea. I went to a restaurant and they said, we've got this drink you might like. You know, and I said, and they said, it's pretty cinnamony. And I said, I don't know. Cinnamon and iced tea, it sounds pretty terrible. But it's really, you either love it or you're like,
or you don't.
Hate it. Yeah. But I love it. It's like
it
the greatest
good.
Iced tea ever.
Oh, I'm going to try it.
Hi, this is Stevie Ray Vaughan for Cinnamon Iced Tea, ladies and gentlemen.
Now pay me.
Now this is where I should go into my coffee rap tune for you that I did on the CD. And here I'm going to give you a little tease of it. When you wake up in the morning and you're not feeling just right, and you look into the mirror and see your terrible side. It's not that you're a monster and you're feeling mean, but it's time to make that coffee scene. This magic bean has changed the world, I know. I got to have my cup of joe. A Cafe Carmel sounds really swell. A jazz CD, a mochaccino for me. Ah, coffee goes well with jazz, you see. Because they are a specialty. So, all you cats who are feeling hip, turn on the music and take a sip.
Hey. All right.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Steve, I'm serious here.
What?
You need to present that to them for their commercial.
Which coffee maker should I take that to?
I don't know, but that's good.
It is good.
I would shoot it to all of them.
Coffee and jazz.
There you go. Oh, yes. Love it.
That's what they used to do in the coffee house.
The sounds of jazz from Kool to Bach are playing in my favorite coffee shop. I'm kicking back and taking five, because job and jazz are the hippest jive. Coffee goes well with jazz, you see, because they are a specialty. So all you cats who are feeling hip, turn on that music and take a sip. Turn on the music and take a sip. Turn on the music and take a sip. Turn on the music and take a sip.
All right.
Take it to Starbucks. Take it to Starbucks.
All right, let's get it on Starbucks. Maybe
you I'm serious. Yeah. That is good stuff. And you're a composer. You can put the music behind it. You're set. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Get paid. Mm-hmm. Right, Rob? Get paid.
That was great.
That was awesome.
That was good.
I loved it.
That was great.
I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you liked it. Well, I really appreciate you all having me on today. It's been great to meet you all.
You too.
Yes. And to have a chance to talk and mm-hmm. and share, you know, some real good times together. I appreciate that a lot.
Absolutely. We enjoy having you, man, and we definitely welcome you back. Yeah. It's about time for us to wrap it up. So again, we'd like to thank Steve Raybon very much for hanging out with us today. And one more time, Steve, before we get out of here, your website again, one more time for everybody.
Yeah, www.steveraybine.com.
All right. Easy enough. And so, folks, y'all definitely go check that out. And again, everybody, we really appreciate y'all tuning in this week and join us next week.